From WYPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Insurgents are triumphant in many Democratic primary races. Progressive Ben Jealous, former head of the NAACP, decisively defeated moderate Rashern Baker of Prince George's County for the Democratic nomination to face off against incumbent GOP Governor Larry Hogan in the fall. Jealous promised his supporters victory.
Larry Hogan will lose in November because he is not ready to run against someone who knows how to build a people-powered grassroots campaign.
The drubbing of the Democratic establishment was not only at the top of the ticket. In the legislature, powerful committee chairmen were ousted, and at least one more seems headed to defeat. Republican voters seem to send a more moderate message. We'll analyze what the voters are saying on the record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. Maryland Democratic primary voters expelled some of their most powerful office holders and picked as their nominee for governor the progressive endorsed by Bernie Sanders over the moderate endorsed by most of the state's Democratic establishment. In the race for Baltimore County Executive, Republican primary voters picked the candidate backed by Governor Larry Hogan over the more Trump-like candidate, and Democratic voters shared their votes among their three candidates so evenly that Democratic race is too close to call. Lots of upsets in yesterday's primary. Here to walk us through it is Barry Raskovar, who has been observing politics in Maryland for more than four decades and blogs about it at politicalmaryland.com. Welcome back to the show, Barry.
Thanks, Sheila. It was an exciting night.
It certainly
is that for progressive Democrats, if there's a crowded field, they're going to get about 30-35% of that vote. And in a crowded field, that's enough to win. But if you get a one-on-one matchup, that's not enough to win.
Well, Ben Jealous got about 39%, right? Almost 40%.
Yes.
And then when you add in, say, Rich Madalino and Krish Vigniraja, other candidates to on the left of the spectrum,
right?
That seems like more than a third.
Yes, it is. It is more than a third, but it's not what you would want going into a general election, especially against a popular moderate. A united Democratic Party is what Ben Jealous needs. I'm not at all certain that the more moderate wing of the party is going to be 100% in his corner. And the other difficulties he's going to have is turning out his voters. In November, there are no contested elections of any significance in Baltimore City, Prince George's County, or Montgomery County. Those are the Democratic strongholds. If you have a weak turnout in those Democratic strongholds, that makes it easy for Larry Hogan to march in there and win another term. Jealous has significant obstacles to overcome.
And of course, that one in particular, his rhetoric is that he knows how to turn people out, and that his running mate, Susan Turnbull, former chair of the Democratic Party, brings a special sauce of insight into how to get people to come to the polls.
Well, it'd be interesting to see, because I don't think the Democratic Party rank and file have any notion who Susan Turnbull is.
No, I think Jealous is saying she's going to be like the behind-the-scenes person.
He accused him of not being enough of a fiscal conservative, and then he also won the support of all sorts of progressive groups. And he's also, but more than anything, he is an African-American in a jurisdiction that is majority-minority. The changing demographics in Charles County, I think, caught up with Mac Middleton in this case. But there are other upsets, a number of them in Baltimore City. Joan Carter Conway, who's a chair of the Education Committee, in the Senate. It looks like she lost to Mary Washington, a delegate. And then you had a couple of the Young Turks in the Baltimore City House delegation who ran for Senate. One of them, Antonio Hayes, and the other one, Corey McRae, who knocked off longtime state senator Nathaniel McFadden.
Who was the president pro tem.
President pro tem, but that has no power. That position has no power. But these are two up-and-coming future leaders for Maryland in the state Senate. But again, that's part of the progressive movement of the Democratic Party toward younger, more liberal-leaning, more educated politicians who are just really getting their feet wet, but voters are saying they want to change.
I want to pick up on the you said in the District 43 in Northeast Baltimore that it looks as if Senator Joan Carter Conway has lost. The numbers on the Board of Elections website show her several percentage points behind, but that raises the question of the votes that haven't been counted yet between the absentees and the provisionals. How much of a grain of salt do we need to take any of what we're saying with? What are the chances?
For the very close races, such as...
What a great race. And it's not over.
It's not over. At least on the Democratic side. Let's talk first for just a minute about the Republican race, where Larry Hogan's choice won. First of all, I was surprised that the governor was inserting himself into primaries. What's at work there?
Right, and some of the thinking there, and Barry, you can probably talk about this better than I, is that the governor sees Baltimore County as a very important county in his reelection. People often call it a bellwether county, and if you do well there, you tend to do well statewide. And so he did not want Pat McDonough to be the Republican nominee because McDonough he doesn't necessarily call himself the Trump of Baltimore County, but the Sun and others have called him that. I think the governor was worried that he was going to alienate some supporters who might stay away from the polls and who might have supported him if they voted in November.
Pat McDonough is a flame-throwing Democrat-turned-Republican who, had he gotten the nomination, would have been virtually unelectable because his views are so extreme and in some respects so racist that it really would have been a turnoff. Hogan sees Baltimore County as very important, not only for himself, but for the future of the Republican Party. With Al Redmer as his candidate, there is a chance that due to Hogan's popularity, Hogan may be able to use his coattails to sweep Redmer into office. And also, there's a very important state Senate race in Baltimore County. Senator Kathy Klausmeier is being... threatened by a very popular Republican delegate, Christian Mealy. And again, Hogan's coattails could be the difference. And Hogan needs to pick up a number of Senate seats so that he'll be assured that their vote not only will count, it could decide this election.
And we haven't mentioned the third candidate by name, Vicky Almond.
Vicky Almond.
She's between the two of them?
Mm-hmm. But she's got almost 1,000 votes to make up. In a three-way race, that's extremely difficult. It's not impossible, but it's extremely difficult.
So the dynamic here, does this fit into the idea that the Democratic primary electorate is more liberal? I mean, has this race skewed more liberally?
Sure.
Than people expected?
It sure seems to have. I mean, Johnny Olszewski, he was running as the progressive candidate. He was promising to spend a lot of money on things like education, that sort of thing. And so, if you turn the clock back like about 3 weeks ago, and a couple of weeks ago, there was a Sun poll, and he was a distant third in that poll. And so he just came on over the last couple of weeks. And when I saw him out on the campaign trail the last couple of weeks, he said that he felt it, that he felt that there was this momentum behind his campaign. Turns out he was right. But if you look at the Sun poll from a couple of weeks ago, there was a big undecided in that poll. There was like 30%, more than 30%. And so it sure looks like that 30% broke his way, for sure. And so he would tell you that it was his positive message. While Vicky Almond and Jim Brochin were tearing each other down over the past couple of weeks, Olszewski kept it pretty positive, pretty clean, and he may have benefited from that. And Jim Brochin actually said something near the end of the night last night to his supporters at a gathering in Towson, where he said that he's putting a lot of his hopes on the absentee balloting because they happened before the campaign went negative. And so he's hoping he's got, and that tells me that he feels like he lost some support over the last couple of weeks by the negative campaigning.
Yeah, I think the two of them, Almond and Brochin, pretty much canceled one another out by going mm-hmm. negative, while Johnny O was taking the high road. An admitted socialist. He is to the left of Bernie Sanders on a lot of issues. But he's ahead right now by a couple of hundred votes. So again, absentee ballots, provisional ballots are going to decide who the next county executive is in Montgomery.
We have just a couple of minutes left. John Lee, the Baltimore County School Board.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? What should I know? Because it's not done, right?
It is not done. It was a bit of a complicated setup that people had to deal with at the polls. For the first time, there is a hybrid elected school board in Baltimore County. There will be an elected school board member from each of the 7 council districts. However, this on primary day, 3 of those council districts, there was no campaign, there was no challenging, because you had the final two. It's kind of like a runoff, is what yesterday was, because the final two, the top two vote getters, will square off in the general election in 3 of the districts. There were only 2. So they'll get it in those districts, then they'll vote in the general. As far as significance there, I can tell you in one district in particular, there are two school board members, current school board members, who are running. One of them will face off in November with the challenger, but Kathleen Causey won big last night in her district, the 3rd district, and she is a sitting school board member. But no matter what happens in November, it's going to be a very different school board. You may have at most 2 members who are currently on the board who will be on the board after the November election.
So that's a whole nother conversation. Very quickly, because we have just a couple minutes left, how does John Trone's victory in the Democratic primary for the open 6th district congressional seat, how does that fit into the trend, or does it?
That's going to be one of the most interesting races in November. David Trone, who is a wealthy businessman,
owns
Total Wines, put, I think, $10 million of his own money into this campaign.
And thanks.